After the brutal midnight attack and rape of September 26th, 2004, we are always glad when another uneventful night draws to a close at our orphanage in eastern Kenya. The lonely hours of thick darkness, punctuated only briefly by the pale light of a dying moon, must soon give way to the cheering rays of a new dawn. And with that new dawn come new challenges, new responsibilities. It is 5:30 in the morning at our new child rescue centre in eastern Kenya. Our cooks are the first awake, and 400 miles westward, a similar scene is being enacted. It is a daily ritual, and a necessary one, for it heralds breakfast for 160 children presently under our care. The breakfast porridge, made the previous evening for cooling and serving, is waiting. It is rich and nourishing, and while the children are being washed and dressed, the cooks are already busy with lunch preparations. The conditions here in this bush country are somewhat Spartan in character, and we accept that, for we are a pioneer mission. But we have one vital asset which allows us to overcome every other obstacle, and that asset is water, rainwater. All our roof drainage is piped to this manhole, 1,500 square metres of roof catchment. And even with a moderate shower, we harvest a lot of water. From here it flows to our concrete reservoirs, holding 500,000 litres. Thus, in the dark of the morning, when most needed, this fresh, sparkling rainwater, piped to our kitchen, allows us to operate comfortably in the semi-arid region of eastern Kenya. Within the hour, before the sun has broken the horizon, and before the smoke from our newly lit fire has dispersed in the dew-laden morning air, the children are fed and off to school. They are smiling, in good health and happy, but it was not always so. These children are orphans, mostly AIDS orphans. Four of them have been diagnosed as HIV positive, and two small children have full-blown AIDS. But for these at least, fame has intervened. And as they set off for school, they have the assurance that they will return to proper food and shelter, love, care, and protection. Under God, their childhood at least is secure. It was not always so with them. Allow me therefore to present the former life of the first family we rescued from destitution. One example will suffice, and it will accurately portray the plight of the orphan child in Kenya's poorest region. In March 2006, we were alerted to the urgent needs of orphan children who lived here. They had heard my truck coming, and so were standing wondering who it was and what was happening. We found the homestead slowly disintegrating. Decay was evident everywhere, with no one to maintain the place and no one to care for the children. This was all they had. On the day we arrived, it was this 7-year-old's turn to prepare the food. These pictures need no embellishment. Primitive means, meager food supply, and dirty water sum it up. Now, 80% of Kenya's 30 million live in rural areas, and as such have a similar lifestyle. But a normal family have each other, a sense of belonging, and the companionship and protection that family life imparts. But through their hardship, their innate kindness and good manners shone through, which this picture amply demonstrates. After seeing for ourselves their plight, we called them together and asked them if they would like to come with us, trying our best to make them feel comfortable with this new development and avoiding using pressure which might cause them more trauma. They seemed happy, and they certainly have no cause for regret at the decision they made that day. Day by day, our provision for these children is neither cosmetic, low cost, or substandard. Neither is it lavish, but we provide three nourishing, varied, and appetizing meals each day, with meat twice per week. Portions are always adequate, nothing is wasted, and we have no complaints. The kitchen staff are good workers, and this is essential, as it is not easy work preparing food and cooking for 100 children every day of the week, every week of the year. Note how much water is needed for this one item alone, even before it reaches the cooking stage. This underscores the urgency for harvesting water, conserving water, and, where possible, recycling water. We have 22 children vegetarian, and on meat days, we prepare them a separate meal. In all these things, we seek to accommodate individual needs, and in this way, we hope our children will come to view the centre as their home, and not just a home. Consequently, the children are happy and content, and in all our activities, we seek to keep them so. The empty plates are well cleaned, even before they reach the washing water, and it gives us great satisfaction to have it so. Daily supplies for 100 children must be in hand, for in the bush we can't be shopping every day. We buy in bulk, and I usually bring in 3 months' supply at a time. That's 3 months' supply of every single item. This means our manager, matron and staff have no cares or concerns except those directly associated with personal day-to-day child care. Our approach to child care is holistic. We seek to develop every aspect of their young lives. And where better to let them burn off their zeal and energy and find their physical strengths and limitations than on the playing field? If childhood memories are precious, then we want to leave a store of precious memories for each child under our care. We want them to look back on their time with us as a happy, blessed experience, and in doing so, attribute that blessedness to our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. This is our constant goal for them, even through the playground activities. Over the years, our work here has attracted the attention of many people, and many have already come to Kenya to see the centre in operation. We find visitors are always a fresh source of interest, and if they have skills, we do our best to put them to use, whether with the children, physical work, or just visiting the local churches and villages.
Boys and girls, I wonder today, are you obedient to God's word as you hear.
Visitors are always good for us, for they give us the opportunity to mingle and make friends with the local people. And this is a vital part of any successful mission policy. The local people love to host visitors, and it does our visitors good also to see the primitive conditions others endure. Thus, they will better understand our particular needs on the field, and that evangelism here must sometimes be accompanied by practical help. Sometimes visitors are willing to come and work, dealing with special subjects. This young nurse, for instance, spoke to hundreds day by day on medical health, covering very important issues relevant to young people. She took questions. The young people took notes and listened intently. And it was very encouraging for us to witness such interest from a section of the community that is in most need of our help in these things. This couple have been coming year by year to do child evangelism. And through the support of the local primary school, we are never short of a listening audience. These children are going to remember these meetings for the rest of their lives. And we know that we are only the sowers of the seed, but God will provide the harvest. That is what motivates us in the continuance of these special efforts year by year. But however much we appreciate visitors, and we do appreciate them, they come and go. They are in transit. They are not constant. And while we take pride in showing our children's progress, we have a more specific and abiding method of instruction for our little ones. From the very beginning, with just a handful of children, Irene and myself set the pattern we wished the centre to follow.
You know, I wasn't always a Christian. I wasn't always born again.
The spiritual life of each child is focused on the Word of God and the person of Christ.
God is their Father.
And from this little ragged school, gathered under this tree, we have progressed to a much more full and instructive program. On each Lord's Day, we have two specially adapted worship services in which our children participate and learn the lessons and principles of Holy Scripture. Child participation is greatly encouraged. Bible stories are enacted. The whole theme of creation is covered, and Bible verses are memorized and proudly displayed.
John chapter 3 verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Amen.
By these things, we are constantly amazed at how much and how well the children retain sound biblical instruction. The main holiday time in Kenya is Christmas, and it is very different to the obscene blasphemies that characterize the Western celebration of this season. Here, the holiday aspect is important. The relatives of orphans will come to visit, and thus the children can enjoy a special treat on that day. These children are enjoying presents sent by some kind UK well-wishers. And I can tell you, they were thrilled to distraction. You may imagine the impact this had on these little ones, who had never received one new personal item in all of their young lives. We are indeed grateful for the kindness of all our FAME supporters, for without their continual, prayerful, and sacrificial support, none of these things could take place. Without overseas aid, these same little ones would be condemned to a life of hunger, ignorance, superstition, poverty and hopeless despair, and very possibly a premature death. In tandem with our child rescue work in Kenya, we maintain our medical aid. Indeed, our work here began with medical aid. Here at the Naomi Curran Memorial Clinic, we maintain a vital service to the community, a service that has proved its worth time and time again as a vehicle for evangelism. Every day brings something new, and we do our utmost to assist all. Some we must refer onward, assisting with transport only and medical bills. Such as this child, a beautiful little girl who requires an operation to rectify a birth defect which left her with no bowel opening. At present, she must suffer this, but when her operation is complete, she will be as this young boy who has already had a similar operation. Successes like these encourage us to help other poor children who need our aid and assistance.
You were playing football whenever it happened.
This young man is another patient who benefited greatly from our intervention. He was playing football and received a terrible injury. Ours is a clinic, not a hospital, and we can't cope with such emergencies. But we made sure he was taken to where he would get proper treatment, and it was a complete success. Although we must refer some patients, we can deal directly with 95% of those who come to us. And when we see some of the wounds, we are glad we can render immediate assistance. This is the result of a snake bite. This is the exit wound, and the infection has made its way right through the leg. Sometimes the problem stems from simple neglect or an inability to cope. This child was born to a mentally handicapped woman who was abused and left with child. In these instances, we do what we can by way of helping with basics, such as clothing and food. And sometimes the transformation is hard to believe when we see the results. One of the most interesting cases to come to us was this newborn baby girl. She was born at midnight by the roadside. 5 days later, her mother brought her to us, and this was the problem. The lack of hygiene had allowed a blowfly to deposit eggs on the fresh umbilical opening. The nurse removed 16 maggots, cleaned the wound, and the problem was solved. Such is life in the bush. But we know that our presence and medical aid makes a difficult life that little bit easier for these people. The evening and the morning still mark the daily cycle, as they did in the beginning and as they will do to the end of time. Here at the centre, as the evening shadows lengthen and night time draws again upon us, we find time to reflect on the work done. In the wider scheme of things, it is not much. We are insignificant, unknown, unimportant. What difference can we possibly make to the incalculable need of this vast continent, this open sore on the face of the world? In the wider sense, the difference is negligible, hardly worth the mention. But for these children, the difference we have made is immeasurable. To some, we have literally given life. To the orphans, we have given back their childhood. We have introduced them to the Saviour. And what more precious things than those could we give them? Our labour, carried out in the gospel cause, will bring gospel rewards. Of this we are certain. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him.